When I was in third grade, my family moved in the middle of winter. And even though we moved into the same city, what happens when you are in one classroom and you move in the middle of the year is the teachers may not be on the same place in the curriculum. And so that's what happened to me. The school I was at from kindergarten to third grade, I remember the teacher saying over and over again, "Guys, after February vacation, we are going to learn multiplication and division." And then we moved. And the school that I went to, they were already past it. They had already learned their multiplication and division facts. And so even though I was smart, from that point on, I struggled because I missed the unit where we had memorized our multiplication facts. And so, as you know, multiplication matters. Multiplication affects all the other things you're doing in math, algebra. And so from then on, things were a little bit hard for me. And so when I went to college and God called me to be a teacher, I had the opportunity to learn from some of the best math teachers, but this part still didn't make any sense because I hadn't learned it in third grade. And so when I graduated, I became, anyone want to guess? A third grade teacher, right? And so my job then was to teach children how to do multiplication. And you know what? God is good, isn't he? And so he had already gone before me, and I went to a conference with the teachers that I taught with in Sturbridge, and there was a man there. Now, if you're a homeschooler, you may have heard of him. The curriculum is called Math UC. And if you ever come into contact with children who need some help with math, nobody does it better than him. And my one day, Magali knows, my one day with him opened up my understanding of math, and from then on, it made sense. And guys, that's why I'm here today. When you leave, if you forget everything I say, will you remember this? Multiplication matters. You know, we are a church where we understand that to be a healthy church, we need to be a church that multiplies ourselves, not just our location. And we are committed to that. We are committed to being one church in multiple locations, but we want to multiply ourselves. We want to help people find their way back to God, both here in Chelmsford and in Lowell and anywhere that God calls us to. We want to be people who understand that we have a call on our life. And that call is to be disciples who make disciples. We do this when two things happen. When we have a mentor or a guide, and when we realize God's called us. He's called you to be a mentor. And I love this phrase even better, a spiritual father or mother. Because as moms and dads, we know this, don't we? We don't want our kids just to learn what we know. We want them to take that, plus the gifts God has given them, and put them together and go further than we would ever go. We want to be a spiritual mother and father. And so in this series that we're calling Floating, we have spent 4 weeks carefully looking at our lives. We want to be aware that we have a choice. We can continue to float through life on a lazy river, or we can stand up in those 2 feet of water and pop that inner tube and live a life with intention and direction. See, we want every single person in our community to have a vision from God for their life. Do you have that today? Do you know that God made you on purpose for a purpose? And we need you. We need you to be part of this body so we can go and help people find their way back to God. We want you to wake up on Monday morning with the strength of Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit in you to stand up and do the next step that God is calling you to do that. And so we do that when we believe that God has created us on purpose, for a purpose, to help people find their way back to God. Now, I saw this slide from one of John Emery's mentors. It says, if we are a church that makes disciples who do not make disciples, we're not making disciples. See, it's inherent in being a disciple of Christ that our desire is to go and find the one that is far from him and help them grow up in the faith. So as a disciple of Christ, one of our roles is to help others find their way back to God. Do you know making disciples matter to Jesus? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, one of the last things Jesus said, he said this, he said, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all I've commanded. And what's this beautiful promise? You're not alone. I will be with you till the end of the age. So for a few times now, I've said this word, disciple, disciple, disciple. What is a disciple? If you look in the dictionary, one of the words is apprentice. Maybe somewhere along your life, you have apprenticed under somebody, someone who is just a few steps ahead of you. Look at my friend Maureen, and I know there was a kindergarten teacher in the classroom she's in who was there before her. She was apprenticing. Mrs. Beaver was helping Maureen become a better teacher. Maybe it's a mom or a dad that's just a step ahead of you, and they're apprenticing you. The beautiful part is God always provides apprentices, but part of being a disciple is understanding that we are apprenticing under Jesus. Right? It is our call to be close to him. And if we're a disciple, part of that job description is to make other disciples. And so I say today that one of the ways that we stop floating through life, where we live a life with intention and with direction, is we make disciples. So if you haven't been with us these last 3 weeks, I just want to fill you in on this series called Floating. Week one, Jake taught us that it's not just our intention. Right? We have good intentions. Apostle Paul had good intentions. The things he wanted to do, he didn't do. And the things he didn't want to do, he did. In my life, that used to look like I didn't want to drink Diet Coke, and I wanted to exercise, and I wasn't doing either correctly. I don't know what it is for you, but it's not just our intention. It's not just our desire. It's our direction. It's getting up and day after day taking steps in the direction God has called us. And then in weeks two and three, what did we learn? We saw that we are not victims of this life. We can stand up and pop that inner tube. Who was here when the inner tube was popped? Kind of shocking, but I hope you remember it forever. You have the ability to do that with the power of God in you. Stand up and say, I'm not going to float through life anymore. I'm going to be really aware, like you would if you were walking through a house with Legos all over the floor and your feet were bare, that attentive to what God is doing and what he's calling you to do. And guys, last week, I was so excited when we got to the end of the day and we knew together that God is the God of adventure and he is calling us on it. He is calling us to live lives with his power and with his strength. And so today, I want us to know that the most valuable thing we leave behind has nothing to do with our net worth. Do you believe that? It's not the job you have. It's not the house. It's not your bank account. What you leave behind that matters is your spiritual descendants. When you are a spiritual mother and father, and you have this line behind you of those who call you faithful, they have seen God's power in you to take step after step that he's called you to do. That is your legacy. You know, if you've been around for a little while and you've been behind a car who had this little sticker, the one with the most toys wins, something inside you knew that wasn't true. It's not the one who dies with the most toys who wins. It's the one who God has used to do what he created you in advance to do. That's what brings life and joy to us. It's the only thing that has eternal value. And so that's why this church is committed to this. We help people find their way back to God. It's the only thing that has eternal value. And part of that comes from understanding this hard but true fact. We are all going to die. Our life here does not go on and on and on. And so when we die, what do we want to be true? See, I don't want to be the only one who knows what I know. God has been so good. But I don't want to die knowing these things and not sharing them with others. I want to be able to stand up out of that lazy river and with God and with his power, take the intentional steps that he's called me to take. So in this series, have you recognized that you may be floating in your life in an area or two? I told my friend Dave this morning, it means a lot to me that he and Patty keep sharing where God is talking to them because I think it's impacting others. I know it's impacting me. God has a next step. If you don't know what it is, the beauty is the Holy Spirit can give you wisdom. Just ask. That's what Jesus said. Ask anything in my name and I will do it. Ask him, God, what was I created for? Show me. But I know part of what your call is. See, you and I are God's plan A of how to share the gospel with the world. And do you know there is no plan B? If we do not go out and do it, the angels are not coming. It is our job to go and help people find their way back to God. And somebody did that for you. If you just take a moment, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was your grandma who kept praying for you and telling you, I am praying for you. And maybe it's your friend who invited you to the basement of a mill. Whoever it is, somebody is there helping you take the next step. Now we get to rise up and we get to do that. We get to live knowing that our life has purpose. We were not designed to float through life. So what does that look like for you? I don't know how many of you are prone to the lazy river, but boy, am I. Because you know what my favorite thing is? My mom's in the back, and she will tell you this is true. I love to nap. Like, it is my favorite of all things. A nice comfortable bed, some pillows, some blankets, a book. I could be there for days. So lazy river is, like, really easy for me. But the other thing I love, and I know this is weird, I love to organize. I don't know if any of you do. Like, HGTV is my thing. Like, I love messy spaces brought clean. And so when I'm feeling stressed, that's where I go. Like, I love to clean. I love to organize. And so I wish that I loved to cook. Do any of you? I envy all of you who that's your joy. Like, I watch food TV, I buy Pampered Chef, I keep believing, like, no. So I'm almost 50 and I need to just acknowledge it. That's not what's happening. I'm not gonna be a cook. I'm just gonna be someone who likes to organize. And so because of that, and I love to read, I found the book, The Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo, The KonMari Method. I don't know if any of you have seen it. And so a few years ago, I started to use that. And it's so fun. You take each item and you hold it and you see if it sparks joy. You know how many things you have in your house? That's a lot of, like, holding and is this joy or not? But it helped me because I had a dining room when I bought my home that became a playroom when the girls were little, and then it became my office, but it wasn't really an office. Those of you with little kids know it's like where the coats went and the jump rope and the hats. You know, it was just a mess. And the walls were covered with my girls' finger painting from preschool. And guess what? They don't want any of them. But it was so hard for me to let go of them because I remembered the memories. And so KonMari helped me to, like, hold it and say, oh, thank you, and then throw it in the dump. And that was awesome, but I was not getting through my basement in this method because everything I held was still joy, like, oh, this was this and this was that. So guess what? I found something new. The Swedish death cleaning method. Have you heard of this? It's awesome. It's really true. So what it is you realize you're going to die, right? And the people around you do not want to clean your home. So you hold each thing and say, does anyone want this? If not, let me release it. And so I finally got through my basement. It didn't look much different from that. And so I got to the last few things. You know, it was obvious, this is garbage. This is going to Goodwill. And then there were those things, you know, like my girls' mats that they used to roll around on, or a rug I loved, or whatever. And guess what? You have Facebook. Do you have Facebook? You can put your pictures of these things on, and instantly people took them. So if you have that one or two or three things that you're like, I don't need it, but I can't let it go, that's how you can get rid of it. But the beauty of Swedish death cleaning is it got me from a place where you really couldn't walk through my basement to now it's clean. Because we as Americans don't realize this, but life has shifted. See, my mom's parents lived through the Depression. And because of that, everything was valuable. And people used to pass down their dining room sets in their china. But we've gotten to a place where nobody wants it. Consignment stores can't sell it. And so we're having this crisis of people wanting to give the things that they love to people who don't want it. The younger you are, the more minimalistic IKEA-looking home you have. And there's no place for the dining room set. So we're going to have to make these decisions. And you know what I realized as I began to look through my basement? Not all multiplication is good. When I first moved in, I would put one or two or three things in my basement, and I don't know what happened, but they multiplied while they were down there, and it was not healthy. And so I don't want my children to do this. I don't want them to keep keeping and hoarding everything. And I think our walk with God is the same. There are things in our lives that He doesn't want to multiply. There's generational sin and pain that He never intended for us to go through life with. Someone may have spoken over you something that is completely not true. Don't multiply that. Release it. Let God recreate you. Hear this. This is what God says over you. You are my beloved. I made you on purpose for a purpose, and I love you. And when we know that, that is what we want to multiply. And you know what else He does? We don't have to wait until we are complete to multiply ourselves. He multiplies our small offerings. Do you ever think about those 5,000 people who were there when that one little boy brought his fish and his bread? There were probably people with food. He probably wasn't the only one, but they probably thought it wasn't enough, so they didn't bring it to Jesus. He cannot multiply zero, but Jesus will multiply anything else. No matter how small your gift, bring it to Him. Let Him multiply it. And this has always been how God works. If we go back to the beginning, if you don't have a Bible, they're in the back. Take one home as a gift. But the very first book is called Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 18, we see Abraham. And if you've been around Harbor for a while, you know who Abraham is. Abraham was chosen by God, not because of anything he did. He had faith. God counted that as righteousness. But God said to Abraham, Abraham, through you, you will be blessed, and I will bless the other nations through you. And recently I heard one of my favorite pastors, Lisa Beer, talk about this. And she said, you know what God did? Look at Genesis 18:19. When God looked at Abraham, he knew not only did he have faith, he wanted to pass what God had taught him on to the next generation. Genesis 18:19, this is God speaking. I have singled him out so he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham what I have promised. If you are a mom or a dad, will you write this down today? Your job is first to take what God is teaching you and direct your sons and your daughters and the family that is to come to keep the way of the Lord. God is good. You want them on that path. God knew that Abraham would take what God had taught him and pass it on. And that is what God has designed you and me and all of us to do. Take what he has taught us and pass it on. So I've been in pastoral ministry ever since my youngest daughter was 3. That's when I officially stepped into a role. But before that, I served at a home missions church in Lowell. So I was very much like many of you who just pour your heart and your soul into this church because you love it. And so that home missions church was in Lowell. It's where my little babies were, dedicated to God. And then when my youngest was about 3, we went up to Bedford, New Hampshire. I have some friends here from there. And I stepped into pastoral ministry. And I have to tell you, even though I was wired to do children's ministry, I found it so hard because I loved the church I was a part of, but the worship and the preaching and the communion were upstairs and I was downstairs week after week after week with the children. And God taught me something amazing. I can worship him anywhere. I would worship him with headphones in while I was vacuuming. And I realized that I cannot serve if my soul is empty. So I would spend time at Jesus' feet. The only problem is I had little kids. No quiet time. Anyone have that? And so I learned to bring them into it with me, and it became a part of our morning to look at scripture together, to pray together, to be blessed together. And so in that season, I began to have some goals, not just intention, but steps of direction. And my two goals were this. Number one, I wanted my girls to say to everyone they met, my mom on Sunday and my mom on Monday, they're the same. They're the same. I don't want to be fake on Sunday and unkind on Monday. And that involved me sitting at the feet of Jesus and believing what he said. And out of that love, I could pour out. But the other funny thing is, any of you serving in children's ministry, I just want to bless you. Thank you. We have some weeks, 170 kids, youth back there, you know, like a whole third of who we are as a church. And the problem is this church is awesome, right? The preaching and the worship and the communion and the friends, and it's hard to go back there. And so since I was leading, I had these 3 people who came every week, my girls. And so from like 4th, 5th, 6th grade, I started to speak over them. You have gifts and I need you to use them. And they began to step into their identity, not out of any reason other than necessity. And that happens, doesn't it? See, I didn't intend to multiply myself, but I was just surrounded by other moms. And so I began to speak into their life what God was teaching me. And they began to study at home with their children or take a step of faith. I accidentally began multiplying myself, but yet it is what God created me to do. And where I saw it the most is in my daughters. I would never have thought the way to grow a disciple is to give them responsibility, but it is. That's how we take steps of faith. We use our gifts. And so my girls began to do that, and I'm telling you, it changed the trajectory, especially of their teen years. They didn't have to listen to the voices around them saying, you're not welcome. I don't want you. You're not enough. Instead, they heard the little kids who, when they came in, were like, you're here. And they began to see the value of just being intentional and sitting with people and hearing their stories. And God grew them into leaders that he continues to use, even though 2 of them are in college. You know, earlier we sang that song about what the gospel is. The gospel is that Jesus did for you and I what we could never do for ourselves. And maybe your next step today is to recognize that, that God does not want us to be separate from him, but that's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. But yet scripture says while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Accept that gift today. Know that God calls us And he loves us. You know, Jesus himself shared that with his friends who he called disciples. In John chapter 15, verses 13 to 16, it says this. He says, Jesus says, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you're my friends if you do what I command. See, even though God made us, Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. No, you're my friends. And since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. When was the last time you asked God, God, show me right now in this stage of my life what you created me to do and give me the strength to do it because I know that I'm your loved child. That's what Jesus was telling his friends. He was telling them he would soon give up his life for them. And he told them what we need to believe. They didn't earn that love. It's a gift. They didn't choose him. He chose them. Today, accept the free gift of God. That might be your next step. To believe that his precious blood covers every thought, every word, every deed that ever separated us from his love. Leave today knowing you're his adopted child. You are his loved friend. See, when we believe this, we live lives of faith. We do not let fear dictate our future. So as we've been walking, is there something stirring in your soul? Have you asked God, why did you create me? What is my next step with the gifts you gave me? Because God, I don't want to die knowing everything you've taught me. I want to share it. But I also don't want to replicate the broken parts. God, do some Swedish death cleaning and take out those things. Allow me to be honest with people. Allow me to believe that I'm forgiven. Allow me to believe that you made me on purpose for a purpose. And as you walk in this life, if you look around, God has people to walk with you. And so I'm going to end our time together with the Apostle Paul. He's the writer of most of the letters of the New Testament, the part that follows the Gospels. And so we're going to look at Paul and specifically someone he mentored named Timothy. Now, if I had more time, I'd start a little bit back from Paul. I'd start with a friend named Barnabas, because I love Barnabas. And if you've never read his story, would you go home? And while you're reading it, just picture the big purple dinosaur Barney, right? Because what's Barney always saying? I love you and you love me. That's Barnabas. Barnabas was the one to bring Paul into the fold. So Paul was not alone. Jesus had sent someone to walk with him. He had a mentor. He had a guide. But now we're going to look at the fact that Paul didn't just take that information and hold it inside of him. He multiplied himself. He made disciples who made disciples. And so we're going to look at the book of 1 Timothy. And what 1 Timothy is it's a letter that Paul wrote to this young pastor named Timothy. And he tells Timothy, hey, there are five areas of your life where it matters. And so if you're taking notes, these are the five things we want to multiply in ourselves. 1 Timothy 4:12 says this, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Now, some of you are sitting here today, and it's not the fact that you're young that's holding you back. There is something else. In all honesty, the fact that I'm female held me back for a while. I didn't believe God could use me. That was a lie. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're female. Don't let anyone look down on you because someone spoke untruth over you. Don't let anyone look down on you and say, your family doesn't do this. You cannot do it. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Set an example for other believers. Make disciples who make disciples. And so what are the five ways you can write these words? We'll go back through them. In speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. You want to find it later? It's 1 Timothy 4:12. I'm going to talk through three of them with you, and then I'm going to bring some friends up. So in speech, how do we set an example for other believers? Anyone here a Hamilton fan? Just me? It is the best. You have to go home and listen to it. So in it, there's a song where it talks about free thoughts. Now, if you had a thought you wanted to share with people for free back in the days of Hamilton, you had to actually reproduce it on paper, go into the town center and hand it out to people so they could understand your free thoughts, the thoughts they didn't ask about. What do we do today? We wake up with an idea. We go on social media. Here you go, everybody. Here's my free thoughts you didn't ask for. What happens when we are not multiplying health? Have you ever done that? Have you been angry at something and you just wanted everyone to know it? So you went onto social media thinking, I'm going to change their minds. By what I write here, I'm going to change the minds of those who do not agree with me. No, that doesn't really happen. You just end up in an argument on social media. What does it look like instead? To realize that our speech matters. Our speech sets an example for other believers. If God is speaking to you through the word, through a song, as Dave and Patty often share through their community life group, share it. You don't know the impact God will have with what you shared on somebody far from God. Know that your speech is one way you can set an example for other believers. We're going to look at the next two later, but we're going to look at this one. What does it mean to set an example for other believers in our faith? What is faith? Faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being certain of what we cannot see. So that's what God has called us to, lives of faith. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 to 21, if you want to write this down later and print it out, it is a beautiful prayer that you can pray over your family, you can pray over your friends, you can pray over yourself. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. Do you believe that today? It is not your strength. Jesus will equip you to do what he has asked you to do by faith. And may he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good and pleasing thing. That's what he created you in advance for. There are good things that only you can do through his power. Pray this over yourself, over your children, over your friends. And why? Let's look at the last sentence together. So that all glory will go to God forever and ever. Amen. We agree that our lives would bring glory to him forever and ever. Amen. See, our faith increases when we pray simple prayers like, Jesus, will you equip me to do this next step that you've asked me to take? And then faith involves believing that he will do it without sight. See, if we had sight, then it's not faith. By faith, we are going to go to Lowell. He will provide. By faith, you will help people find their way back to God. Why? So that we become someone important? No. So all glory goes to God forever and ever. Amen. And then finally, we're going to look at this word purity. And that has a lot of meaning in this day and age. But I want to go back to the book of Psalms. I want to start with us. I don't want purity to be about us looking out and telling people clothes and shoes and movie choices. Let's look at ourselves for a moment. What does it mean to set an example for other believers with lives of purity? Here's a simple morning prayer from the book of Psalms. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Our lives were meant to be marked by purity. We can set an example for other believers in that. I'm going to invite Johnny and Jeff up as I continue on for a moment. I want to circle back to this letter from Paul to Timothy because the words align our soul to our purpose. He calls us to set an example for other believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. I mentioned earlier I came from a church in New Hampshire. And when I came to Harbor, I came to be the children's pastor. And then God called me to a next step of faith that I was not prepared for. I could not do this in my own strength, but the power of God in me allowed me to do that. And so I had to multiply myself. I can't be up front and in the back. And so God called Jeff into ministry. And so I became a mentor to him, but Jeff didn't keep it. He looked out and said, who else can I pour my life into? And he poured his life into Johnny. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, of what it looks like to live lives with faith and purity, but with speech and with life. And with love. That's who we are as a church. We help people find their way back to God so we can live fully and love deeply and give freely. So Jeff, you came here the summer 2016. Have you had any mentors or have you seen God provide mentors to you both here and in your life?
Yeah, every season of life I found strong Christians who just set a good example that I sometimes ask questions. Sometimes I just look at their example, but it has shaped my walk, shaped my life. Without my mentors from Bethany, from youth group, you and Adam, so many others there, and coming here, the staff and other just strong believers here have really shaped my walk and life and ministry.
Yeah. And so you're wired to lead worship. That's a strength you had that I didn't have. And then you had met Johnny years ago. You saw something in him. Johnny, you came here for a funny reason. You had a confirmation project. You want to tell us about that? We don't have that here.
Yeah, so in confirmation, we learned about the gospel and how to spread the word of God. And we had to do a project where we went out and we spread the love of God to other people. So other people were going to Food for Children and other charities, and I was looking for something, and then you two reached out to me. And I came here to help with the worship in Kids Harbor. And I've been doing that for 6 months now.
And so you've been given a lot of responsibilities and opportunities to grow. Do you see God using the gifts he gave you in his kingdom, specifically around worship and music?
Yeah. I've known for a while that I'm talented in music, but I never knew that I'd be using it in this way until I set out to do that for my confirmation project. And I've been using my gifts to spread the love of God onto the children in Kids Harbor.
You have. And Jeff, have you been able to use some of the gifts that God wired in you as you came into this ministry?
Yeah, I never expected to work with children. Spoiler, sorry guys. But I love it. I love it. And I always expected to work with teenagers. And in this role, God has given me a lot of young people to work with and feed into. God's given me the opportunity to lead worship with the kids, to grow in those areas, and use my gifts in ways I never thought I would be able to.
And so, Johnny, you and I have talked about this before. Sometimes there's kids sitting in Kids Harbor, and they say, yeah, Johnny's wired to do worship, and Jeff is awesome at games, but God didn't make me able to do anything. What would you say to a child who thought that?
Well, I know that we all have gifts within us that we can use to spread God's love. And it took me a while to find that, and not everybody finds it right away. So eventually it'll come to everyone.
So keep trying. Try new things. See where God's using you. That's awesome. You know, Jeff, sacrifice and being stretched is part of the multiplication process. God doesn't actually call us to comfortable lives. So you took a step of faith saying, hey, this isn't exactly what I thought I was going to do with my life, but I'm going to do it. And it stretched you a little bit. In fact, many times you've had to pick up your cross and follow him. Can you tell me, has Kids Harbor been pretty easy for you, or do you feel like you're being stretched?
It's been a totally new and challenging experience, and every day I have to remember to thank God for the opportunity for growth instead of complaining about how difficult and tired I am.
One thing I've seen is your faith has grown as God's provided more than you could ask or think. One day, Jake said from stage, we need someone to help in toddler room. How many people signed up that day?
We had 12 people sign up.
We had 12 people sign up that day, and that grew your faith that God would provide. Well, finally, I was wondering if you could share a story of how kids in Kids Harbor are learning to use the gifts that they've had. Johnny, did you notice any kids wanting to join the band?
Well, so every week we have some of the kids come up and play drums and lead motions and stuff in the band, and I've seen when they do that, that they're alive in God, and they're not just sitting and listening, and they're really active and enjoying it, and I think that's a really good step in their faith.
I agree. You know, one of the things I loved is I've seen Kemley, Jake and Kristen's son, wanting to reach out and become a drummer. And I think part of it is the example of watching you. Hey, Jeff, you've told me that John Patterson's one of our worship pastors, and his daughter, Audrey, might be wired in that direction as well.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago when John was leading worship, Audrey was staying in the green room hanging out, waiting for service to start. She got there before me. And when I had walked into the green room, she had already made a sign-in sheet. She had revamped all of our prayer journals, made sticker charts, and had many suggestions for the day. So not only do I see her wanting to be in leadership, she requested that we forego game time and have prayer time instead. And during our team huddle, I asked her to pray for us, and it was one of the most authentic, real prayers that I have heard.
And she's not even in fifth grade. So you are not too young, too old, from the wrong family. There is no reason God can't use you. Well, I know you guys have to head back and dismiss the kids, but can we thank them for both serving Kids Harbor and for sharing their hearts today? And you guys can head out that way. So I'm so thankful for them. You know, as we're ending this series, we don't want you to go home and forget. We want you to remember God is talking to you right now. There's a next step. So on your way out, our First Impressions team has a card for you. And the back of it has next steps that we've thought through. Maybe you need somebody to come alongside you. You've realized maybe there's a relationship change that has to happen. We're going to have a boundaries class again in January. But right now, we have a compassionate care team. We have a prayer team. We have a recovery group. And that is not just because you're recovering from something. It's for hurts and habits and hang-ups. That's all of us. We know that we need to be in group life together, don't we? We need to have people we can be authentic with in order to grow. And so we also know that you have gifts and abilities that God has given you, and we want you to use them. So, hey, Jake's going to be at the First Impressions table. Judy, one of our elders, will be there. Come have a conversation. Fill out a connection card. Let us connect with you. Help us to help you continue on this path. We don't want to float through life. We want God to raise us up as a church so we can go out and help people find their way back to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that you give good gifts. You're a good father. That's what you do. You give good gifts. And so, Lord, would you allow us today to just sit here with open hands through the rest of our morning, to not allow any untruth that was spoken over us in life to direct an even a moment of the future. Lord, allow us to believe we are who you say we are. We are loved. We were paid for, redeemed, and we have been given gifts to go out into this world and help lost people find their way back to you. And Lord, if any friend is sitting here today and they've never taken that first step, would you stir their heart right now? The gospel is so simple. If we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we confess with our mouth God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Lord, allow us to just accept that gift. It's nothing that we have done. We did not choose you. You chose us. Let us accept that gift and lead lives with intention and direction to become who you created us to be. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.